Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to another biweekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you from a rainy night. We had rain on Friday the 13th, and then we had a nice sunny day on Saturday the 14th, which was the day of the Trump rallies. And now on Sunday the 15th, we're back to rain again. So we were lucky to squeeze in the good day on Saturday. But anyway, the temperature right now at airtime is 56 degrees with a light rain. I haven't been out at all today. But anyway, I want to welcome you to the show and let you know that the chat room is open. And the call-in number, if you'd like to come in, I'll call in with your questions and or comments. The number is 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, give me your first name, what city and state you're calling from, or if you're outside the country, what city and country you're calling from. Of course, the big story since our last broadcast is the election, and we've all been inundated with all kinds of information about the election, whether it was fraudulent, whether it was legitimate. Let me know what you think. I'm sure you'll find out what I think as the show progresses, but let me know what you think. We had a large number of votes, something in the ballpark of 75 million for Biden and 72 million or so for President Trump. So I think those are both records for the winning or potentially winning or losing candidates. And that's a good sign. I think we should have everyone participate and exercise their vote. It's one of their three V's. As I've said many times, everyone has their three V's, which if they're all alone and have no support, you still have power by exercising your three V's: your voice, which is your spoken or written voice, or your email voice, whatever, letters to the editor voice, calling your representatives, using the voice for that, your valuables, which is your time and or your money, if you don't have any time, because you're working or taking care of your personal life, you have your money, you can send a contribution, or if you have free time on your hand, you can use your time to help our country become a more perfect union. And then, of course, what we had this November the 3rd, we had a big one in which we could use our vote. And the big issue this year, I believe, was the mail-in voting because of the coronavirus, or COVID-19 as they refer to it, there was more and more mail-in voting. And to me, as an accountant and one that is familiar with internal controls in the business world to ensure proper financial reporting, I am very concerned about the integrity of our vote. But before we get into that, I want to, as usual, give you my coronavirus pandemic statistics, the latest ones that I have been doing for many weeks now, many programs, both giving you the global and the USA figures. And tonight, here are the figures. The infected on the global level is 54,792,181. That's up from 46,750,677 2 weeks ago. The active cases, 15,348,560. The number of deaths on the global scale, and these are changing as we speak. The deaths is 1,323,928, and the recovered is a whopping 38,119,693. And that indicates a very large amount of those that are infected do recover, maybe 3 out of 4 or so. Then on the U.S. figures, USA infected 11,055,906, and that's up from 9,456,969. The active cases, 4,173,211. The deaths, 251,815. That's up from 236,351. And the recovered, almost 7,000 at 6,930,880. So that's maybe 6% or so, a little over 6%, or 60% that recover. So the coronavirus is a serious issue, and I do see that there. I was going to tell you later, but I might as well tell you now that the company Pfizer, along with the European company BioNTech, have announced a vaccine that is over 90% effective, according to what I'm reading and hearing about. But when it'll be distributed or available for use, we still have to wait on that. But it could be before the end of the year or in early 21. But then again, how good is the virus, the vaccine? Are we confident, especially when we see how our government is operating, confident that the vaccine is what it purports to be? But it looks like they are heading toward a resolution of some type coming up. Now there's 11 countries now that have over a million cases. 11 countries over 1 million cases. Peru is just about ready to make it 12. So that's up from 9 countries at the end of the previous 2 weeks. So it's going up all around the world. And of course, the big issue that countries have to deal with is whether they need to lock down their economies. And that has its own downside risks, even to the extent of deaths and serious family hardships. Alcoholism and suicide, we see, are related to the characteristics of a lockdown. So we need to pray on that. We need to continue to observe the common sense things of washing your hands. You've heard them all. And of course, you have to wear a face mask if the place you're going into requires it. You should cooperate with that. And meanwhile, use your common sense and probably not go to too many places where there are large gatherings. Although I did go to the rally, which I'm going to talk about now. on yesterday, Saturday, on November the 14th, there was lots of rallies around the country, the biggest one being in Washington, D.C., where the president actually made an appearance in a motorcade where he was waving to his supporters. And there were many there. I don't know the exact figure, but you can probably find the video of it on the internet if you do a search for the mega rally in Washington, D.C. on November the 14th. I went to the one in Boston at the State House. We didn't have that type of a crowd, but we had a good crowd, and probably in the hundreds. And it was attended by many people from former communist countries like China, and they understand, as I talked to some of them, about the dangers that Marxism and communism face, and whether it's creeping, or whether or not we know it is creeping into our country. And that's why we're at these rallies, to make sure we stop it in its tracks. We should have been doing that for years, if not decades. This is like a cancer that spreads. They take over different facets of the country, whether it be the media, the school system, the even the medical field, the educational field. They weave their way into these organizations, and gradually destabilize the country to the point we end up with a crisis. And of course, we know the famous words of Rahm Emanuel when at the financial crisis of 2008, when he said words to the effect that never let a good crisis go to waste. And in this time, we might be seeing they're using the COVID-19 as a crisis and not letting it go to waste by doing certain things like pushing the mail-in voting, locking down the economy. And when you're distracted by different things and consumed by your own personal problems, you can't pay attention to these other things that are happening in the background, sort of like a magician when he performs some of his magic, so-called magic. He uses a lot of distraction, so you're looking at one thing and he's doing something else. But anyway, the several states from the election results right now, let me give you those. As the mainstream media is reporting, Trump has over the figure needed, the 270 needed to secure the presidency. But the figures I'm giving you are the results. Well, I'm sorry, these are the actual results of, as the mainstream media is reporting. Trump is at 232 votes and Biden at 306. So the 306 is why they projected him as the winner, since 270 votes are needed to win the election. The problem is many of us are not buying those figures, and that's why the it's not the media that determines who the president will be, but it's the Electoral College, and they meet in December, and there's certain rules on that, and the electors have to vote, and it's got to go through the process. Not the media does not determine the winner. So the Trump administration has not conceded, and they believe this. About six states, probably at the max, and maybe three really important ones. And if the president can win those three, he would have the enough to win the presidency. And those three states are Georgia, which is usually a considered a red state. And with their 16 electoral votes, they are now in the process of doing a recount. And then, of course, Pennsylvania is the big one that's been in the news with all of the questions surrounding the cities of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, which are heavily Democratic-controlled cities, and whether those voting counts were done properly. And they have 20 electoral votes. And then Michigan, again, there's a lot of controversy about the proper counting of the votes, whether the rules were applied, and I'm not a lawyer, but it certainly looks suspect to me. I see Sidney Powell. I'm going to read to you a little about her. She's been in the news. She's a lawyer. Former federal prosecutor Sidney Powell, a Trump campaign lawyer, suggested in a Sunday interview that there is still more evidence coming out in President Donald Trump's claims of voter fraud and irregularities. We're getting ready to overturn the election results in multiple states, Powell said. Now remember, she's a former federal prosecutor. And she says she doesn't make comments without having the evidence to back it up. She talks about software being switching millions of votes from Trump to Democratic candidate nominee Joe Biden. Powell notably provided legal counsel to General Michael Flynn in 2019. She was named to Trump's legal team in the past several days. So she looks like a competent person and one that should benefit the cases as they go forward. Some may be adjudicated in state courts or maybe even the United States Supreme Court. We know that Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito has already weighed in on Pennsylvania, I believe, telling them to keep separate certain amounts of the ballots because they may be they may have issues that could make them become not valid. So we got to follow this up. There's also three states that are somewhat in play by the president. And those are Nevada, Wisconsin, and Arizona. So those six states still are being reviewed. And we'll just have to be patient and watch what happens. My own view, and I'm going to give you a view from Scott Lively, who I'm going to play some of his recent broadcasts where he says that he wants a 50-state audit, and I would certainly go along with that. I am very, very disturbed the way this election was conducted, and we cannot have a country that has the faith of the people when 70 plus million voted for Donald Trump, and I would venture to guess that a large majority of them are not satisfied with the results, and not just because they're sore losers, but because they think the voting procedures were fraught with errors and or fraud. The major issue, of course, was the mail-in ballots. I did a mail-in ballot on the primary, and then I had one for the final, but I didn't use it in the final. I voted in person. But the whole system, as an internal auditor, someone familiar with internal controls, the system is very, very poor. And the Federal Election Commission needs to get involved. But right now, we have this, have to have the these six states determine. Somebody has to determine what to do with regard to these six states. and primarily the three states of Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. What else do I have here? I want to give you a few sites that you should check into. They can give you a lot of additional information. And those are because Fox News and has come under scrutiny as to whether they are giving us good media coverage. I believe they have some good people in there, but the overall company may be suspect. But Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham may be somewhat disturbed with the company that they're working for, based on recent events of how they are providing the news or thwarting the proper providing of the news. But the two sites that I'd recommend you to add to your sites, which you may already have, is Newsmax and One American News, but you might also add GatewayPundit.com. The GatewayPundit.com, I think you'll find that to be useful. And also Rudy Giuliani's, RudysCommonSense.com. That's Rudy Giuliani's website, but it's just RudysCommonSense.com. All right, well, I want to give you some figures, which I wasn't able to give you last time, but the Dow Jones has closed at 29,479.81. That's up from 2 weeks ago, and it's close to an all-time record. I don't think it's ever hit 30,000, but maybe we could see that coming up. The NASDAQ closed at 11,829.29. That's up from 2 weeks ago. And the S&P also up at 35, closing at 35,85.15. Gold closed the week at 1889.20, and that was up from 2 weeks ago. Silver, $2,465 an ounce, and that was also up from 2 weeks ago. Bitcoin is soaring right now. It's gone up to 16,000. It was floating around 10,000, 11,000 or so sometimes a short time ago, and now it's risen up to 16,000 at my last check, approximately 16,000 per Bitcoin. I still am not going to be lulled into buying any. If it's a mistake, then I'll live with it. But like Peter Schiff says, gold is doing just fine and silver. And they, he is, and I am satisfied with being connected to those precious metals. What else here? I have the big drug news, of course. Pfizer and BioNTech announced the vaccine, which I mentioned earlier, to be approximately 90 plus percent effective. So again, if you want to call in, we have some time. The call-in number is 914-803-4379. And the chat room is still open. Everybody's probably exhausted since the election of November 3rd. It's been probably getting close to 2 weeks since the election, and the voting, although projected by the media to be over, the mainstream media, it is not over. As far as the president is concerned, and many of his supporters, as you can see by the rallies that he had throughout the country, with the major one being in Washington, D.C. The one I had at the State House, we were interrupted by a group of people from Black Lives Matter who acted obnoxiously with yelling and screaming about their their positions and their anger with Trump, and one with a megaphone blasting away with what I described as radicalism that he probably learned from reading Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. They try to intimidate you, but the people that we had in attendance were not intimidated and continued to rally for the president. So that's about it. Let me give you the approval ratings that I do every 2 weeks on the president. Is the latest from Real Clear Politics, average of October 27th and November the 12th. The approval rate is 46.1, which is up from 2 weeks ago, and the disapproval at 52.4, which is down from 2 weeks ago. But it's basically staying around the same, 45 approval and 50 or so disapproval. But the polls definitely took a hit. People are not going to pay any attention, or if they do, it'll be a minimum amount of attention to any polls in the future, because they have not done well by the results that came through. So that's about it. I hope you have a good 2 weeks. The next show will be on Blog Talk Radio on November 29th. By that time, we should have a lot of information about these contested states. Georgia's recount should be finished, I think, this week coming up. And then, of course, we have to see about this software issue, as I call it, the software from hell, which is questioned as to whether it's providing or not providing good results by being tampered with. But you can go to these websites and do some research on the Dominion software system, like the laptop from hell. Excuse me, the software from hell from Dominion is something that needs to be thoroughly investigated. So that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. I want to wish you safe in 2 weeks. Stay with us, and we'll be with you again on November the 29th, 2020. Good night, everyone, and God bless you. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I guess I got a little more time left in the live portion. So let me just mention that the Senate race has to be paid attention to. Right now, the Senate is, of course, 53-47 with the Republicans in majority. But after the election, it is, according to the mainstream media, it's 50-48. And that only adds up to 98. And the two seats in Georgia make up the difference. And they're both in runoffs. They won't be decided until early January. So pay attention to that. And the House, of course, has picked up the Democrats have picked up about 10 seats. So that's about it. I'm going to now go right into the non-live portion of the show. And I want to welcome you back for that. Now there's no call-ins anymore. I want to play a clip that I usually do in the non-live portion with Dr. Scott Lively. He does a show, approximately an hour show on Saturday. On Sunday, every Sunday. And he was on today, and he did a good show. And he has some good information. And so I'd like to cover that and let you listen to him. I could use a time to chill out myself after these 2 weeks of active involvement with the election coverage and all of the news and issues that surround that. But Dr. Lively is a real trooper and a real Trump supporter, and he still believes that President Trump will retain the White House. So I'm going to start in about 12 minutes into his broadcast, and he's on with Pastor May. Richard May, I believe his name is. So he has a show called Breaking News Bible Study. And as I say, it's about an hour show. So here we are at about the 12-minute mark. We'll play maybe 10 minutes or so of that broadcast. Here we go.
You brought the great blessing there in Knoxville to be in a very solidly conservative area.
And we're trying to do the best we can to build up the walls around it.
Yes. Hey, well, I've got a clip. You can see that there, I think. This is, you know, I dearly love the attorneys at Liberty Counsel, right, who came to my rescue, spent $1.5 million to defend me from the Marxist law firm in Manhattan that came after me for 6.5 years trying to take me down. And we finally won in the end. But I have to tell you, this lawyer, Sidney Powell, right? That's her. I got her name, last name right. Her first name is Sidney for sure. But that she carved out a special place in my heart with this, with her performance yesterday, was it, or the day before? Go ahead and play this little clip from Fox News. Lou Dobbs is interviewing her.
Isn't she the one that defended Flynn?
Yeah, she's still defending Flynn, yeah. Yeah, but this, go ahead and play that, Mike.
Oh, absolutely, and it's been organized and conducted with the help of Silicon Valley people, the big tech companies, the social media companies, and even the media companies. And I'm going to release the Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
Oh, that's I love that clip. Imagine that. This is a world-class litigator coming out there on Lou Dobbs and basically, I'm going to release the Kraken, right? Then it cuts to the Clash of the Titans and what's his name, Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
Release the Kraken! Oh, so it's wonderful. But that's what's happening, and that's it's so exciting. And, of course, she's talking about the Dominion voting system scandal that's developing, and all
and
of the mountains of evidence that they have.
And you, of course, have read or listened to the analysis of the computer scientists.
Yeah, Dr. Shiva. Yeah,
Dr. Shiva, which I thought was ironic that Shiva is the Buddhist god of destruction, and she's talking about releasing the Kraken.
And you know, and that's true. Shiva is a really interesting guy. I know him.
Doesn't get any better than that imagery right there.
No, it's beautiful. Yeah, and Shiva is a MIT PhD, right? Brilliant.
Kindest soul on earth.
A wonderful guy. And, you know, he was his first time running for Senate. was my second time running for governor in Massachusetts. And on the 4th of July 2018 parade in Plymouth, Massachusetts, right, which is showcased this month because it's the 400th anniversary of the Plymouth landing by the Pilgrims, but me and him were the last two entries in the Plymouth 4th of July parade. We were the most disfavored of the political elites. And he was the last because they hated him the most, even more than me, which is hard to believe.
I'm getting this flag with you guys walking down the also-rans.
Yeah, it was great because he was going all over Massachusetts in this gigantic bus with a huge banner down the side that reads, "It takes a real Indian to beat a fake one," right? Because he was running against Pocahontas, right? Elizabeth Warren, right? And I'm ahead, and we got a pickup truck and about 20 or 30 people with signs and all that stuff, you know, kind of boring compared to him. But the police chief comes over from Plymouth. The Plymouth police chief comes over, and I'm within earshot, and I hear him telling Shiva, you have to leave. No one's allowed to have negative messaging in their floats. Which as a constitutional lawyer, my ears went bing. I said, wait a minute, right? And I had just finished having a conversation with my own team about this homosexual related float. You could see within eyeshot, and I was really sort of upset. That because their message was all about stop the hate and all this kind of stuff, all the normal nonsense. And so when the police chief comes up and I heard him harassing Shiva, I went back there and I interjected right in the middle of it. And I confronted the cop and I said, "Are you going to make them leave?" Right. And he said, "No." I said, "Well, Shiva, I'm your witness. If you want to sue these guys, I'll be your witness." And the police chief got furious and then turned around and walked off. But anyway, around with Shiva, and everybody should be paying attention to what he's saying. He's a brilliant guy.
Well, I wonder if he experienced the Dominion effect in his vote.
Yeah, they pulled a fast one. What they did in Massachusetts the second time, he ran for Senate again in the primary. They threw away all the ballots immediately after the election. They're supposed to keep all of the evidence of the vote so that there can be a contest, so that someone could prove their case. And they threw them all away. And he believes that he was cheated out of a victory. And he may very well have. Massachusetts is as corrupt as it gets. But anyway. Be that as it may, Shiva did a great analysis of the Dominion voting systems. Look, the numbers regarding this election are impossible. They're statistically impossible. I mean, they're within the realm of possibility in the way that an asteroid might hit the Earth.
The odds are greater for evolution.
Yeah, it's really crazy. One of the main ones is one of the things that just came out. And this is not related to the Dominion voting, but this is I think one of the most persuasive arguments I've seen so far is that Joe Biden underperformed Hillary Clinton everywhere in the United States, all from coast to coast, except for four cities. Right.
Well, we were talking about this during the break. That what if the actual real true vote for Biden was more like 40 or 50 million.
Yeah, well, I suspect that that's actually the case, and they were just counting on their control of the count. And especially in those four cities,
It begs the question: if you have ballots mailed in after the deadline, they can be discarded. If you've got ballots without a signature on them, they can be discarded. If you got ballots from a dead person, they can be discarded. But what do you do with switched votes inside a computer?
Truly. There isn't a lawsuit yet on the Dominion voting systems.
Right.
The lawsuits that are out there are based on other arguments.
Yeah, they're based on stuff that you have evidence for.
Right.
This
well,
is, this is,
and I think Trump has got a very strong argument. In fact, we have a very strong argument because I consider all of us to be part of the Trump team. We have a very strong argument that the all of the votes that were counted that came in without any oversight by the Republicans in violation of the law need to be thrown out. I think that's just sort of a no-brainer. And if that happens, Trump wins because that's Pennsylvania and Michigan. And
right.
Very solid cases, I believe, in both places.
That's where I was going with this was, can we get the vote thrown out without Dominion?
Yeah, I think, yeah. I think there's enough already in delay for Trump to win. But I don't want that to happen. I mean, I want him to win. I'd like the win to come down, you know, tomorrow. That would be great. But
you don't want the election disqualified.
I want a 50-state audit. That's what I want. I want voter fraud exposed, punished, to bring back respect and confidence in the electoral process in America. Anything short of that's not going to work. Nobody's.
What about the solution that happened? It was in either 1840 or 1860. I forget. I think it was 1840. Where there was such rampant fraud that the U.S. Supreme Court declared the election unsalvageable and said, all right, every state legislature decides who to vote for, and each state gets one vote.
Well, you know, that's sort of a last resort, and that's not, I think, a good solution. I think that the cheaters have to be exposed. It's not enough to win on a technical on the technicality that you can't count ballots where the other side didn't get to watch. That's not enough. The people that engaged in this fraud need to be punished for what they did. That there needs to be a catharsis that needs to take place in this situation. That all of the American people need to have a chance to see exactly how the cheating is done, who has done the cheating, and for those people to be held accountable in front of the public. That
well, I think
is going to restore confidence.
That desire has been growing ever since Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office.
Well, I think it goes back further than that, but yes, it's been growing all along. Just
right.
Really because the corruption has been growing all along.
The Clinton Foundation.
Yeah.
The ambassadorship in Benghazi.
Yeah.
Nobody was ever held accountable for any of this. The lost emails. I mean, we could go on and on. Fast and furious under Obama.
Right. No accountability at all.
The growing desire for accountability has almost gotten to the fevered pitch where we're saying, okay, one last time, and if we don't get accountability this time, all bets are off.
Well, that's where this sort of thing is heading. But, I mean, of course, well, have you heard the news that I haven't confirmed this for myself, but it sounds like John Durham is going to give up his investigation. So there was something on the Federalist about this, that Durham is basically, he put off taking any action on going after the bad guys on the Russian collusion hoax. And now the word is that he is he's going to fold his tents without having done anything.
Well, and from what I heard, the biggest part of that was the frustration of trying to get documents swamped.
Yeah, well, all this has got to, once Trump is confirmed for a second term, once that process is completed, that's when the swamp draining really can begin.
Yes, I agree 100%. We've got to drain that swamp. We got our work cut out for us, but once the president, as Scott Lively says, gets confirmed for a second term, we'll do that. So that's about it for tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. God bless you all. Good night.